With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And now,
probably go get some kind of a deli platter
there
or something like that.
Deli, a little salami, some guacamole.
Yeah.
Nice little hard salami.
Not Tommy salami.
Get the hard, nice one put between the crackers. I love the salami crackers.
Set Danielle up here or what?
Cultural change is hard.
Oh, you've never had salami between crackers?
Are you asking me or Danielle?
I'm just asking.
I think it's clear she has. Started
just
in college.
Know, is it spicy?
Spicy Pete.
Was it spicy? Salami spicy.
A little bit.
Still broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight
and be
tomorrow.
Safe, guys.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the Radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
With your host, Greg Hill.
Wow, you were sitting out in Gillette. You were
nice
in like,
seats, by the way.
Yeah, you weren't in. No. You weren't in like a suite or something?
No, I was out there with the diehards.
Okay.
That's a lie.
Yeah, yeah,
I was in the 300s.
Yeah. Minus 250.
I'm the softest guy in here.
Featuring Greg's trusty sidekick, Danielle Murr.
Matt, the issue that they're having here, and a lot
Let me talk, Matt.
When two people talk at once, you can hear nothing out there.
Matt, you're going to bring up empathy.
That's the whole point of what they do.
No.
Yeah.
Joined by Nick Fitzy Stevens.
You have a nut allergy.
No, I don't.
You're a walking nut allergy.
You
look like...
I have a nut allergy.
You look like a nut allergy person.
I work with nuts. I eat nuts.
Yeah.
This place is making me nuts.
Good night. You with your compression
tomorrow,
socks.
Tomorrow, 12 hours
no
of
shift.
Week.
And still here, Ken and Curtis.
Big cake. I apologize.
My apologize.
You are a very intelligent guy, and I will now further call you Ken.
Ken.
I'm also on the Big Cake Laird apologetic tour.
What a great morning.
Some of the fertilizer that comes out of Ken Laird's mouth.
Yeah,
okay?
I agree. On their schedule, moron, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chiefs,
moron,
the Ravens.
Hi.
Now.
But we've got to be role models.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
I don't think you have to be a rocket science to figure that out.
Where the f*** are they all? Jesus Christ.
On Sports Radio.
Cheers. I'm crushing the Bears. I'm watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
WEEI now.
Happy First People Day, or whatever we're calling it now.
We're calling it a work day for us.
Yes, it is a work day. Well, no days off.
Hashtag.
No days off when it comes to this show.
Let's set sail for football.
I think in Hawaii, they call it Discoverer's Day because you can't use the C word anymore.
It's
Columbus,
frowned upon.
You know, Columbus. Yeah. You can't mention Columbus anymore.
Does any holiday have more alternate titles or nicknames? And it's not even really a holiday anymore, I understand. But like,
what do you mean? No, well, I think everybody, it's still a federal holiday. Most people
still have a federal holiday, but I think this is like the holiday that people have off, like the least amount of people, you know,
get
compared to
off?
The rest of them get it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know a lot.
Get
I mean,
off.
There's a lot of people that are a lot of people that get the day off because they go to the Bruins game. And there's a lot of it seemed to me like a lot of people have this day off, but not us. We're here. And if you'd like to call and you'd like to be on this morning, 617-779-7937 is the number to call and participate in the show. Or if you'd prefer to text, you can text on the text line, which is 37937. We will be joined in just about 1 hour at 7 by Boomer Esiason, and then at some point during the show by Tom Brady. We don't know yet what time Tom Brady will be checking in, Curtis.
It's pretty narrowed down. It's between now and 10.
Now and 10. All right. Thank you. That's the way it seems to go, but let's get right to this.
This is The Lead.
Southern Rock to start us off this morning, Ken. Nice choice.
Columbus was the original Ramblin' Man. He played this on the Nina when he found San Salvador. How do you know?
Actually, I think I know exactly why Ken is playing this.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he's going to call me a rambling man.
What does that
mean?
Wow,
you were rambling. Oh, man. God, did you catch any of Fitzy and Gilroy Saturday?
No.
You nailed it.
No.
I mean, what all of New England did. But Hypocrisy, Thy Name is Nick Stevens. They blathered on for an hour, ripping and ridiculing and bemoaning the media for criticizing the 6-0 New England Patriots. Here's a little bit of that.
God, do I hate getting made fun of on the morning show. And it's like my buddy Murph always says, we're so spoiled at this point now. If Tom Brady doesn't go out and throw a perfect game every 7 days, people freak the blank out. Mm-hmm. What did they do? Adapt, evolve, and figure it out.
Thank God we got the Murph drop, because we all want to know what Murph thought. But, I mean, you cannot have it both ways. You are the same guy who said the offense was broken and then doubled down and said the offense was broken Thursday night. So don't get on the radio for an hour and a half and lecture Ben Volen and me and Curtis and Brand X for criticizing the Patriots. You do the exact same thing. You are hypocrisy personified, Nick Stevens.
Ken, do I need to contact Zillow to figure out how much it costs to take up all this real estate in your head? Or
listen, I threw you a bone and was listening. I thought you guys did a fair job of honking it up on both sides. But I mean,
you almost said good, and then you went back to fair. I like how you marched that back. And I appreciate a good, honest assessment. To use some Greg Hill parlance, a good soft five?
I think a hard five.
Hard five? Hard five. All right, I'll take a hard five.
All right, okay. Hard five.
Oh, man, fair job. What a shot from Ken. So, Sundays for me, when the Patriots are off, are spectacular. The Red Zone, I don't know how we existed before the Red Zone channel was invented. It is the greatest thing in the history of mankind. But it also made me see the rest of the NFL in a way that I'm not usually able to on Sundays. The NFL is awful. Pathetic. Every year, the national media despises the Patriots so much that they run to find the new Patriots every year. You know, it was Peyton, it was whoever else over the years. It was Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They were going to be the new Patriots. Well, the last year and a half, it's been Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Right.
Andy Reid and Mahomes are going to take over the Patriots. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. They lost back-to-back home games to the Chiefs and Colts and the Texans.
Yeah.
They are a disaster. The Patriots are heading to the Super Bowl. Shaughnessy's right. Tomato cans everywhere.
Done.
And away the best team. The rest of the league is atrocious.
Nothing getting in their way.
No.
Short of some, I don't even want to mention some sort of horrendous injury or
correct.
Something. But other than that, you can book it, Patriots in Miami for the Super Bowl.
And Gilroy and Fitzy will be in for us that week at the Super Bowl.
I can't wait. I'm already at the Hard Rock. It's a done deal, Greg. The Patriots are already in the Super Bowl. Book your tickets to Miami. It's just a matter now of doing what people around here don't like doing, which is recalibrating your expectations. Everybody thought December 8th would be a preview of the AFC Championship with the Chiefs coming to town to play the Patriots. But in fact, you will not see the team the Patriots will play in the AFC Championship until mid to late January, and that is the Houston Texans.
Mm.
That is the team you need to fear. Deshaun Watson pushed Alabama not once, but twice in college and even defeated them. And now that he's healthy and they made the trades that he needed on both sides of the ball, it is the Houston Texans who will be coming to Foxborough in January to challenge the Patriots, Bill O'Brien, against his former master, Bill Belichick.
Aside from Christmas and the outrage about using the word Christmas, I don't know that there's any holiday that exists during the year besides Halloween that has as much controversy surrounding it as this date does. There's a mom in Oklahoma who's getting absolutely railed online by commenters because she set up her kids in this like flesh-eating zombie photo shoot, which was actually kind of funny. The kids are 5 and 10 months old.
Okay.
So she did them up in like buckets of blood and they're eating brains and stuff.
I like it.
It's pretty creative. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Of course, all the helicopter parents are going nuts saying that this is dangerous. How dare she? It sets a bad precedent.
What's dangerous about
it? Well, she's covering her kids in these weird substances and it's potentially unsafe. One person even went so far as to compare it to an abortion scene.
You're kidding me.
Very aggressive comments online.
It's Halloween. Why do people get worked up about it?
I don't know. I know.
People like to complain about costumes and this is inappropriate and how dare somebody dress. It's like for adults, Halloween is the one year that you get to not be yourself and to do things that you think you could get away with because you're in costume. That's what Halloween is about.
Why do you think so many women walk around with bra, panties, and angel wings? Because they can.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Where's this woman from?
Oklahoma.
From Oklahoma.
Where the wind comes sweeping down the plane.
Well, I mean, is the age of the kids in it? How old did you say the kids were? Their
daughter's 5 and the son is 10 months old.
Who cares? They probably didn't even know what was going on.
It's hilarious.
Like, I think that's great.
When my firstborn was 8 months old, I dressed him as baby Walter White, and I even took a bag, and I even took cough drops, and I put them in a Ziploc and made it look like the blue meth.
That gets me to my lead.
Oh.
El Camino, Breaking Bad movie, everything I wanted it to be.
Really?
Yes.
I was afraid you weren't going to like
it. No, it was everything I wanted it to be. I will keep this spoiler free, but I saw every character that I wanted to see, maybe save for Ted Beneke, who I didn't see. Yeah. I wanted to see Ted Beneke, maybe.
Spoiler alert.
Breaking Bad is probably has the greatest series finale ever, except for maybe The Sopranos. And this film could have been a mistake, but it is not. It is glorious.
Wow. Breaking Bad has the two greatest series finales, because if they ended at season 4, the Lily of the Valley final shot, to me, is the best moment in the entire series.
In the entire series?
Oh, my God. I still get chills thinking about that shot when you realize that he poisoned the kid. And that's not a spoiler, everybody.
I think, for me, the best moment in the entire series is when Hank is sitting on the can and he figures out.
I'm getting a second round of goosebumps.
The whole Walter White thing.
And that was the mid-season 5 finale as well. Not to disagree for the sake of it. Oh, I watched it immediately Friday night.
Yeah.
I thought it was good, not great.
What?
I thought it was the Toy Story 4 of, shall we say, no, Toy Story 4, a very good movie. Yeah. It's not a Toy Story movie.
Right.
Toy Story 4, a very good movie, better than 95% of the crap that's out there. But I didn't need it because it was already wrapped up. El Camino, better than 95% of what I'll watch probably for the next 2 years. I didn't need it. And I don't think it advanced the story so much. I agree with somebody who I talked to this weekend. I would have rather it began where it ended, and I'll just leave it there.
Oh, you wanted it to be okay. I can sort of get that
without any spoilers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there's some. I can say things without saying things. I thought the shootout.
What are you, a woman?
There's a great shootout. The shootout
that was fantastic.
Shootout is.
It's a Western in a lot of ways, don't you think?
Yes, the pizza line is the pizzas standoff.
And
I can say lots of things without saying things about how great it was.
And how great is Robert Forster, by the way?
Fantastic. Did he pass away?
I don't believe so.
I
hope not.
That spoiler.
He passed away over the weekend,
no.
I believe.
Thank God we didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
thank God. Yeah,
no.
It's not a Hillman Jinx
no,
thing.
It's not.
I mean, unless you're speaking in general terms, because we just mentioned El Camino. But
He died on Friday.
Oh, he's such a great actor.
Oh, you're right about that, Nick. He's amazing. All right. Well, anyway, it is an Indigenous People Day, Patriots Monday, Discoverer First People Day here on the Greg Hill Show. If you'd like to call and be on, the number is 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. Boomer Esiason will join us coming up at 7.
Boomer Esiason joins the Greg Hill Show at 7 a.m. Reacting to the Patriots' perfect 6-0 record. Here's what's trending on WEEI.
Driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V, that Boomer interview brought to you in part by DCU and Vertex, coming up at 7 a.m. this morning. Of course, Bill Belichick later, Tom Brady with us. By the way, the ending for Breaking Bad is a little overrated. It's a little improbable. You would admit that.
Are you?
How many people are?
Are you serious?
Oh, yes.
Is this how desperate you are for a hot take?
I mean, come on!
It's the other than the Sopranos,
which sucked. That ending sucked.
What? Oh, you're just not. I'm sorry. You don't have any kind of artistic leaning whatsoever
in your
body. Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gronk was good last week. I agree.
Have mercy.
By the way, Gronk will be in here tomorrow at 9. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Gronk coming into the studio with CBD massage oil, which he's going to apply to Ken's head and see if he can get any growth up there.
Good luck with that.
What kind of growth?
Another loss for the Chiefs at home. 31-24, they go down to the Texans. Kansas City is 4-2, so the Patriots sitting even prettier at 6-0. The Bills, who had the bye week, are the only one-loss team remaining in the AFC.
Let's Schadenfreude into some Andy Reid postgame after the Chiefs.
I'm going to do a better job of getting our team ready to go, and that's where it starts. We're more disciplined than what we're showing with the penalties and drops and so on. We've got it in tackling. We've got a bunch of things we've got to work on here.
So there's a guy fumbling for some answers, but. You know, if you believe if Fitzy's right and the Texans are the team to beat, then maybe it's not such a bad loss. Houston's obviously a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Both teams 4-2.
I mean, do you feel like Patty Mahomes, as some call him, has been determined to be the future of the NFL too soon?
Yes, you do?
He's been
exposed, and they're not doing what they need to do, which is giving him an offensive line and a defense. And what are the Patriots doing? Trying to rebuild the offensive line? And they've got the defense.
In the next three games for the Chiefs, at the Broncos Thursday night, the Broncos are hot. Then they play the Packers and the Vikings. They could come to Foxborough with three or four losses.
When the Raiders win the AFC West, don't say I didn't tell you so.
Well, the Jets won a game. That's the Patriots' next opponent a week from tonight. 24-22, mononucleosis is back. Sam Darnold victorious in his return. You fear the Jets, Fitzy. They've got a little momentum.
I said this before the Bills game, and nobody believed me. I'll say this now. Next Monday night is going to be a good football game.
Ooh.
The Jets will cover. Pats will win.
And you look at the spread so far. I actually haven't seen that.
10-point favorites.
10. Oh, here you go. Dolphins had a chance to win, too. They benched Josh Rosen for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but Flores went for the two. Came up short, terrible two-point conversion try. So Washington gets their first win. Miami is 0-5. And so much for the Steph Diggs trade stuff. The Vikings threw to him a bunch of times. 7 catches, 3 touchdowns, 176 yards. Vikings beat the Eagles.
Now, do you not think that was an audition tape?
Oh, could be. Could be, showcasing him. If that's the case, it was a successful one. Browns are 2-4. Tonight, it is Detroit at Green Bay. Not a bad one. We'll join Westwood One's coverage at 7:30 after Monday night. Baseball playoffs, the Astros. I know you watched all 5 hours of this, Hillman.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Astros tied it up with the Yankees. Yep. Carlos Correa walk-off homer in the 11th. 3-2 the final. Game 3 there will be a good one tomorrow in the Bronx. Garrett Cole v. Luis Severino tonight is the Nats and the Cardinals. Game 3, Washington, a 2-0 series lead. They'll throw Strasburg tonight. And the Bruins, Columbus game today. 1 o'clock against the 4-1 Ducks. The Bees off that shutout win Saturday night. Vodka Chug, I saw on Instagram. Vodka very impressive.
Listen, Vodka. The unfortunate thing is, the Vodka Chug was a playoff thing. It was a ritualistic playoff thing. I brought it back for the home opener. I'm now concerned that because of the result of the game, I'm going to have to go over there today at 1 o'clock.
You're sick.
I'm going to have
no vodka chug today.
I'm going to have to.
Get out of here.
For the team.
We don't have time for it right now, but I didn't get all the griping that I was told I was going to get about the seats from everybody.
Yeah, that's what our Matt Kalman said as well. There are a couple articles that have popped up, but it's mostly, it seems like a silent minority.
People were not worked up. People were in a great mood Saturday night. Even people that were sitting in their seats. I mean, I ran into some, there were some season ticket holders who had their location moved.
Right.
And they were upset about that.
Yes.
But
people are stuck in their seats. You haven't been able to hear from them.
They're not out yet. They're still there.
It's displacement, not size, that was the grouse?
Right.
Okay.
They're still there.
This is the Greg Hill Show.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Lottie, oh, Gandari, oh, let's fly. Way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds.
So should we add the Pope to the list of people who should not be using Twitter after what happened this weekend?
Evidently, yes.
Who's on that list? Antonio Brown. Maybe
the president.
Dino.
Maybe our president.
Check.
But anyway, the Pope took to social media yesterday to give thanks to the Lord for the church's new saints. However, he hashtagged it. And that, of course, that hashtag is associated with the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
And, of course, the Who Dat people all started to believe somehow that the Pope was a Saints fan and was rooting for them.
And the Pope also weighed in on Gilroy and Fitzy. He said it was a great show.
I like the Teddy Two Gloves. He's a good backup quarterback.
So I don't believe that the Pope is. He probably doesn't have time for NFL Sunday. I mean, I would assume that's, I mean, that's his day. I mean, that's the, of any day of the week, Sunday is the day for the Pope. I doubt he's sitting down to watch 5-6 hours of football.
I have a Kamara on my fantasy team.
That's a day of rest.
He hated Gronk as an analyst.
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder if the Pope had a fantasy team, what do you think? Like, what would he name it? The Disciples or...
Sunday Fun Day. Yeah,
Sunday Fun Day.
Yes. Oh, wow. Now, oh, man, I should be ready for that. That's a fantastic one.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
So, I mean, football is... Sunday is... I mean, we all go to our church. Some of them, you know, some of them are... We get together and the kids go to daycare and we take to a knee and then, you know, this is our temple. For most of us, it's just down Route 1 about 35 minutes from the studio.
Absolutely.
That's why it makes the most sense. That's great, though. Isn't it great that the NFL, you get those proprietary in-season hashtags and the logos mm-hmm. come up? It would have been awesome if he hashtagged it Go Pats and the Flying Elvis came up. That, can you imagine all the universal butthurt that would have come from that?
Well, I'm sure Roger Goodell will be firing off some kind of a cease and desist to the Pope on using some proprietary NFL hashtag or something like that.
Your grace, there's a FedEx from 345 Park Avenue in New York City. What?
It needs a signature.
All right. We got a lot going on this morning. Boomer Esiason will join us in about a half an hour at 7. And Tom Brady will join us at some point this morning. It's First People Day or Indigenous People Day or... the day that was formerly known as Columbus Day.
Don't say the C word.
All of those things. So hopefully you have the day off today and you can enjoy the show for longer than normal. On tomorrow's show, just as a heads up, Gronk will be in here at about 9. And are we allowed to pick one other person to come in the studio with Gronk? Did that ever get worked out?
We got the green light.
Okay.
The Pope just tweeted it.
What time do you want to do that? You want to do that around 8 or something like
that?
Yeah,
8 o'clock sounds good.
All right, 8 o'clock this morning, your last chance to win your way into the studio and to hang out with Gronk for breakfast tomorrow morning. So we'll do that at around 8 this morning. And the governor will be in the studio on Thursday for breakfast with Baker. And on Friday, it is Julian Bubs Edelman who will join us on the show.
What a week.
Yes, yes.
I can't believe you are honking for the Bruins on the seat thing. Because
I'm not.
Because I heard from 4 different people Saturday night.
What,
complaining
they
about how miserable, and even with pictures.
That they sent to you?
That they sent to me of their knees butting up against the seat in front of them. The people adjacent, the aisle seat adjacent to them, knees butting up against it. They were miserable. Well, they said every time they had to get up to let somebody by, it was like a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly just didn't hear. I'm not honking. I'm not trying to get myself free tickets or anything. I did not hear. I talked to a lot of people. I asked them. I didn't hear from a lot of people who were enraged by it.
Was it post-vodka chug? Do you just not remember?
No, I remember everything that happened.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, yeah, drink some more today. That's a great idea.
I don't know. I mean, if you heard from people, Curtis thought that we were going to walk in here this morning and it was going to be the whole entire city would have collapsed because people were so angry about the seat thing.
Well, they won 3-0, so that helps. Yeah. People were hammered and they didn't really care because the team played well. But these seats, I'm looking at all these tweets with these seats, these people with their knees literally falling over the seats in front of them. Mm-hmm. It is a disgrace.
Yeah.
And Dale had like the garden spokesperson on and was like, oh, how does this make you feel that people are complaining about their seats? I mean, it's an obvious problem.
A quick Google search. If you type in Bruins new seats, first mm-hmm. thing that comes up for the win, Boston fans furious after TD Garden redesign results in no legroom.
I didn't see anybody that was furious, but whatever. Like, here's a texter, 617 texter, whose Celtic seats got better. So they're happy.
Oh, that's good.
So there are people. I know that, I mean, first world problem. I know that there used to be an aisle. I heard from our good friend John Dooley of Echo Store last night.
Duels.
That there used to be an aisle behind the courtside seats in which the server would be able to come out and bring the drinks during the game to the courtside people. And
is that aisle, gone?
That aisle has now been eliminated. So that's
what Scotty and Scopa going to do?
That's a real problem over there. But anyway,
they have beverage drones.
They should. Yeah, they do. Yeah, there should be an indoor beverage drone.
Just the hum.
Yeah. I think there might be an issue clearance-wise with Taco, but other than that,
Did you see the ratings spike when Taco came in, by the way, last week?
Well, I mean, they love Taco. My guy's 7, what is he, 7'8"?
7'7".
He's 7 foot 7 inches tall.
Greg, when I met...
Think about that.
7'7".
Think about how tall he is. Think about that.
He is a giant human being.
He needs like red lights blinking on his head so that nobody, when he's walking down the street, so he doesn't get hit by an aeroplane. I mean, but yeah, I don't... Listen, if you were somebody who's worked up, you're certainly welcome to call and share your experience. I'm not honking Danielle. I didn't hear much of a really negative nature about it. So
the vicinity you were in on Saturday night did not look like it was in the riffraff where this would be an issue.
You were
basically handed different bottles of Grey Goose.
Curtis, what I made like a reporter, an investigative reporter. I made my way around and asked people how their experience was.
Oh, you're in the media now.
Yes, I'm a guest.
I can't believe you didn't get any actuality for the show.
Yes, I should have.
And, you know, iPhone.
I should have been recording. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number should you want to call and be a part of the show today. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. And we'll be right back on a Patriots Monday with the Greg Hill Show.
It's the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Well, now I guess we're going to have to address the Nick thing on El Camino because the texter, 617 texter, is agreeing with you that it was not that good. And I'm floored, absolutely floored by that. El Camino gave me everything I needed when it came to the Breaking Bad movie, everything. And I honestly somewhat doubt any kind of credibility that I may have given you as a benefit of the doubt earlier when it comes to your knowledge of entertainment based on the fact that you didn't really enjoy it. I'm sorry, but I can't believe you said that.
To what degree do you feel like El Camino advanced the narrative of Breaking Bad versus being just fan service in a lot of ways?
Well, what's wrong with fan service?
I have no issue with fan service.
You don't think people, and this is the problem, is that I want to adopt some kind of... We used to have a rule on the old show that we didn't talk about television programs that aired on Sunday nights until Wednesday so people had time to catch up. I want to adopt some kind of a week-long rule or something here, but you're forcing me into talking about it. You don't think people wanted to know what happened to Jesse? You don't think people have been waiting?
I love not knowing. I absolutely love not knowing, because we know what happened to Walter White. He got what he deserved in the end, and Jesse wouldn't deliver it to him because he wouldn't give him the satisfaction of finishing the job, if you will.
Yeah.
And I love the uncertainty of Jesse. Like, Jesse is sort of the heart, if you will, of Breaking Bad, and he gets away. Now, he gets away, but we don't know if he ends up getting caught, but at least he got a chance. Jesse was given a chance at escape and redemption. And now that we get
a
chance,
but that's what people wanted to know. What happened?
To know? Why that life comes with no guarantees? There is no finality. Why do we have to finally be delivered? Like, here's what happens to him. All right, I kind of enjoyed not knowing, actually, because I could play those scenarios out in my head. And to see it happen this way and have it play out kind of slow and almost predictably, again, very enjoyable, but it's not like it's a meal that I'm going to be talking about for years to come. I sat down, I enjoyed it, and I'm carrying on with my life.
I mean, you got to, but didn't you enjoy getting to interact with nearly every character that was important on that show?
Absolutely. If I want it, and they could do it again. It's basically like three episodes compressed into a movie because it runs at 2 hours. And by the way, I don't think there needs to be some sort of moratorium on talking about it right now, because it's been a full weekend. It's a holiday weekend. And last I checked, it has been viewed millions and millions and millions of times.
Nick does not know the outrage of people that are surprised when they turn on in the middle of a conversation of something they were planning to watch on a Monday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
He clearly has not experienced it.
Are we allowed to talk about the Pats game?
A little different.
There are no spoilers that are going to be issued. I can tell you that. I'm talking about it in roundabout terms because I understand that. But
I thought Jesse's sexual corrective surgery was a bold choice.
This texter says, 207 texter says it was great. But this 413 texter says that is like Nick and says it was boring. But this is an interesting text. It was as good as it could have been without making it a 5-season series. Well, I mean, here's a dodo who says drop the El Camino talk. How about drop the show? There's 8 billion choices out there.
Yikes.
Have these people not figured out? Do people not know that there are 47 different morning radio programs and also your phone? Mm-hmm. Like, go to your phone if you want some kind of breaking statistic.
Listen to the Monday Night podcast.
How many sports fans, by the way, watched El Camino this weekend?
8 billion.
Especially Pats fans who didn't have a game to watch.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here's a text that said, you were fine with how the Sopranos ended, not knowing what was going on. Yes, no, I was fine.
Great point.
Ken, it's not contradictory. In the case of the Sopranos, I would have loved the Sopranos movie. I would have absolutely loved, and there was one that was going to happen, guaranteed, if Gandolfini hadn't passed away.
But probably your fault.
I was not responsible for. There was no jinx on that. But I don't know. I just don't get when Nick says it was a waste because people wanted to wait to learn or determine for their own what Jesse's fate was. Jesse. I wanted to know what happened to Jesse.
I can't stand not knowing. I'm a woman.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Okay, so this is actually a movie, right? And it's made in a cinematic style, like I said earlier. It's a bit more of a Western. You can see a lot of nods to great filmmakers throughout it, leading up to, shall we say, the finale, the showdown in the movie. You weigh this against some of the great episodes of Breaking Bad, and I think it actually kind of pales in comparison to some of the greatest episodes. And they had a long time and a big budget to put this together. Again, it's good, but I would have rather it began where it ended because I want it to make bold choices. I felt this was very safe.
But you can't.
This was a safe movie.
Without revealing anything, you can't do it that way and get the flashback part.
You still could get the flash. You absolutely could get the flashbacks.
Those are the best. It was everything I wanted it to be. It was everything I wanted it. Oftentimes in my life, television is my soulmate, and it was. And it was everything. Everything that I wanted it to be. Everything that I wanted it to be.
Hey, so. I want to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow for a second, if we could segue, because I have had it with this broad giving out advice. Every week, there's some story about a doctor who has to come forward and say, don't listen to Gwyneth Paltrow about something.
Is this a Goop thing?
Yes.
What is the latest?
She wants you to be at your leanest livable weight.
Well, who doesn't want to be at their leanest livable weight?
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It's the slimmest you could be for your body shape and your body type and your BMI and all that crap. But it's like, she's so out of touch and tone deaf. Because it's so easy for the celebrities. They've got the personal trainers on staff. They've got the personal chef. How many videos has she done with, her personal chef that's at the house? She's like, we're going to make a roasted chicken today. And Chris Martin loved this when we were married. And all she does is whine and preach about perfection and attainability. And, like, normal people can't get to that. Normal people they have jobs, they have kids, they have limited budgets. They don't have all this money to spend on all this stuff all the time.
So is it dangerous for people to try to get to their, what's it called? Their leanest
livable weight.
Can she please consciously uncouple from Earth?
She's basically saying people should be as skinny as possible without dying, a.k.a. Curtis.
Yeah, well, speaking of people who could use a hamburger every once in a while.
Gwyneth Paltrow's my queen.
Curtis can disappear. Curtis can disappear between two thoughts. He's so skinny. I think, by the way, I think Goop is legitimately a dangerous website.
It is. 100%.
I think she's a menace to society.
Yes. She's a menace to
society.
She is.
Telling you to go down to the beach and find vajayjay stones and shove them where the sun don't shine?
Yes.
Get out.
My mom, Blythe Danner, actually fixed a prolapse by sticking a rock in her you-know-what. Like, come on, dude. Like, nobody...
Wait, doctors are basically saying don't follow this advice because you'll end up doing more harm than good to yourself.
They're saying it's basically going to promote an eating disorder like anorexia or something. Yeah. Because she's like, be at your leanest livable weight.
Well,
what the freak does that even mean? Like, oh, okay, let me get as skinny as possible and just like it by any means.
Right.
Come on.
Meanwhile, you have to go to your job. You have to drop your kids off at school. You have to...
You get moms fainting in the pickup line because they haven't eaten in 6 days because Gwyneth Paltrow says they have to be lean.
But isn't some of the rest of the country reacts to TB12, though? Like, Brady's not a doctor. He keeps spreading all these things about how you need to train. He had the whole concussion water and all that stuff.
Yeah, but training, that's different than... what she's doing here is basically, like, deprive yourself of everything and get skinny. That's the overlying message
of this. I mean, Tom Brady's, like, nobody can drink the amount of water, really, that Tom Brady is advising.
That's why everybody's sunburned.
Yeah.
Super hydrated. What is super hydrated?
But I don't think it's the same thing.
I don't think so.
Tom doesn't give out medical advice. Like, I mean, she basically thinks that she's a doctor,
mm-hmm.
And the doctors are like, stop.
Doctors are saying that she's creating a culture wherein people have a fear of food. They're like just afraid to eat because people like her are like, do this because I did this. Look at me. I made this beautiful organic roast chicken with stuff from the market.
So I'm on the road and I'm starving, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to pull into, like, let's say a Cumberland Farms. And mm-hmm. I want to pick up maybe a little sausage egg Sammy for the road.
Cause, delicious.
Because I got to be on the morning radio.
Why
and it's
not?
Early. Am I not allowed to because, Lady Gupta over here doesn't think that it's okay for me. That's not Goop compliant.
Correct.
That's not leanest self.
Correct.
And Hillman, come on. Brady gives out medical advice. You can't say that.
He
obviously does. He's got a book of medical advice.
Dietary suggestions. There's nothing wrong with... Suggesting.
Dietary advice? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're parsing there.
It's lifestyle advice, Ken. Yeah. Lifestyle.
Gwyneth is just suggesting you don't eat for the next 6 years.
I mean, and how does one figure out what their lowest or leanest
living weight
is?
No one has any idea what that is until you get sick. Hey, Brenda, sorry, you went 3 pounds under the guidelines, so guess what? Now you're in kidney failure.
You know how I stay super thin is because I take all my advice from Hollywood. I'm on the Castaway diet.
Oh,
I only eat things I can catch with a spear, and my dentist is an ice hockey skate.
Oh, ouch. Poor Tom Hank. It's Greg's favorite,
What? Tom Hank.
You love him.
When is that Mr. Rogers?
America's Senator.
When is that Mr. Rogers movie coming out?
Isn't it out?
Is it already out?
December.
December.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Well, yeah, they're talking about, of course, he's being talked about as the Oscar must win. He and Adam Sandler are both going to get Oscars.
By the way, just a cautionary tale for you this Monday. Be careful when you Google the phrase Mr. Rogers release. That went down a dark path real quick from which my childhood is not able to recover. Never mind Sesame Street. This just took a whole bad turn. Jesus.
What's more dangerous, listening to Gwyneth Paltrow for medical advice or to Fitzy on Saturday?
I was going nuts. Everybody knew it was coming. The gratuitous segue.
What was the issue with his show?
He's
on
taking
Saturday.
Shots. Ken and I, he's taking shots. We have some
shots at
you
shots and
bowling.
Ken.
Yeah,
well,
what
is
wrong
implied
with you?
I mean,
he got his revenge. See, he was able to get. He was able to be on a show by himself without you two or anybody else. Critiquing his. Zingers.
Yep.
And he was able to get his revenge.
Just had a yes boy Gilroy there. You're right.
Yes boy Gilroy. Oh, Ken. Hey, how's the skate pod doing?
Great, actually. We had Don Cherry last week.
Yeah.
More Who? Downloads than your show.
Downloads? My show's not a download show. It's 3 hours of fanboy service on a Saturday, and I'll have you know that it was perfectly comfortable for the 7 people listening. Perfectly comforting.
Oh, who did he go after? Did you go after anybody good?
I was disappointed with Ben Volen.
Why?
Because I didn't like his headline Friday. I could see why some people would revert to calling him Trollin' Volen because his headline Friday was something along the lines of Patriots offense just not good enough. They're not going to get it done with this offense. I mean, we all sort of...
Why does that bother you?
Nobody defends the wall against evil headlines quite like Nick.
That's right. And by the way, Patriots don't deserve to win after they go up and they beat Buffalo in that hostile environment led by their phenomenal defense.
Well, you said the same thing, though. You said the offense was broken.
I said it's broken. Yeah, I didn't say it's not going to get it done or that it's not good enough.
All right.
I believe there to be a difference.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ken, can you just change your name?
2 weeks in a row you said
can
the offense
was good
enough.
Can you just change your name? I even doubled down on it, and I'll stand by it. Could you just do me a huge favor and change your name to the internet? Because I think you exist just to drive people crazy.
And you just you pander to the internet. You tweet out things during the game that Patriots fans are obviously feeling, and then the next day, you peel it back,
he backs the truck down.
Oh,
he backs it down.
I explain exactly. I would hardly call it a pivot.
Maybe
that should be my nickname, Greg, the pivoter.
But aren't you really
Petey Pivot?
When it comes to the Chiefs, aren't you seeing exactly what Bill Belichick has orchestrated when it comes to this defense? That the defense wins football games. I mean, it's a fact as old as as time.
And coaches smart enough to actually follow the blueprint that he laid out in the first half of the AFC Championship are single man covering the Chiefs and applying pressure to Patrick Mahomes. He threw a pick yesterday. He got strip sacked. That offense is revealing itself to be supremely talented, but a bit more one layered or one note than people gave it credit for being.
Well, hold it. I mean, he got torched by the Chiefs. Belichick's defense got shredded by the Chiefs last year. They only won because Brady
in the second
scored
half,
last.
And if you remember from Do Your Job 3, there was that stupid pick play that wasn't called that basically opened up their offense in the second half. If the referees actually called that game the way they should have, we're not going to overtime, and we don't have Burkhead running it in the end.
All right, so which great offense this year have the Patriots shut down?
I'm not saying that they've had to shut down a great offense, but the defense is flexing a muscle and getting ready for teams that I don't even think are going to be that good. We've been talking about, well, they'll face their first challenge when they go down to Baltimore November 3rd. Really? Does Baltimore look... They barely held on yesterday against the Bengals. They could only beat
Yeah, but they're the number two offense statistically in the league. So if they beat Baltimore, that will be impressive.
Okay, it will be judged against this year's stats and standards.
Well, what else do you have to go by?
I guess that's all you have to go by, but nobody's that good. No, Philadelphia, they're not that good. I guess we're all...
Another top 10 offense. That will matter. Baltimore, Houston, Dallas, Kansas City, those games will matter.
Dallas, look at what Dallas did yesterday. Absolutely.
Yeah, they almost came back.
Peed down their leg from the back door in the Meadowlands yesterday. What a disaster. Jason Garrett should be fired. I mean, he's an awful coach. The clapper, they call him. Awful. Clapper.
I enjoyed the show immensely. It was very good, Fitzy. I'm just giving you a hard time. I enjoyed it. It was very...
I want to be given a hard time. I was so excited when I said I hate when the morning show makes fun of me for professing my love of special teams. I was writing down the time code, and I was actually going to text it into Ken just to be like, here you go, guys. This is for you and Curtis because I know the way we roll, bro. And by the way, Ken, how were the Patriots special teams last Thursday night? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Don't remember too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Are they good?
Pretty good. Two touchdowns of the Patriots defense and special teams.
So Houston's the only team that worries you.
Because of how good Deshaun Watson looks. Because that, remember 2017, the game where they won barely with that great Brady throw to Cook's toe tapping in the front of the end zone? That was the Watson coming out party. And then he tears up his leg. Last year was basically the ACL comeback year. He looked good at times, but not great.
Bill O'Brien is not going to beat the Patriots.
But I'm telling you,
he is a bad coach.
He is a bad coach. Deshaun Watson might be talented enough to help overcome what a bad coach Bill O'Brien
is. Think about O'Brien's miscues every time he plays the Patriots. He challenges things that are idiotic. He has the worst timeouts. He has bad clock management. He is not going to beat Belichick.
This is Chad. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Fitzy, I couldn't disagree with you more. You can't look at how a team plays a crappy team because every team that plays us, it's like their Super Bowl. We go down to Miami last year, they beat us. They didn't win any other games last year. They didn't play any other team like they did us last year. But the Baltimore Ravens is going to be our first loss this year. You can't look at how they played the Bengals yesterday just because they played like crap. They're going to be ready for us on November 3rd, and they're going to play us like we're the best team in the league, because we are,
And our defense is going to do great, but our offense is not going to hold up, and we're going to lose the game.
Some teams are lucky, Chad, to play in a Super Bowl every season. The New England Patriots play in between 10 to 15 because of rematches and whatnot in the AFC East. Every week is practically some other team's Super Bowl when they play the Patriots.
Or, as the Pope calls it, the Last Supper Bowl.
Oh,
well done.
Greg, like your neck.
I think the rim shot on this show, by the way, that deserves
I've been saving that one since 6:20. Nice. Yes. All right. Boomer Esiason is going to join us next on a Patriots Monday here on The Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.